Okay, last week we were looking at John chapter 14, if you would turn there. And trying to answer the question, what is the purpose of mansions in heaven? And we just really gave the practical side last week. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. By the way, that's the foundation of everything. You must know Christ as Lord and Savior if you are going to go to heaven. If you're going to be in the presence of God, you have to have faith that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again from the dead. That's the message of the gospel. And He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So by way of contrast, Jesus, or in the context, He makes it clear, He is the way to heaven. He is the way to the Father's house. And last week I brought in some of the things leading up to that, and we won't go over that again, but it does bear repeating that all the disciples had known during their ministry with Christ was really a lot of traveling, difficulty, hardship, and really their entire ministry after that was one of privation, persecution. And I thought, when they go to heaven and they see the glory of the Father's house, I think it's going to, comparatively, it's going to be like, wow, these are glorious mansions that God has prepared for us here in the Father's house. And Jesus made a way for us so that we can enjoy all of this and enjoy God throughout all eternity. Another thing I thought about, just struck me today, was that after living a life of difficulty, can you imagine the transition going from a life where a lot of times there's struggle and hardship, and to be in the presence of God when every problem is gone? So going to the Father's house is a place of immeasurable comfort and joy and blessing that will be so encouraging. And we'll get to enjoy that. Now, I believe the promise to come again to take believers to the Father's house, where there will be mansions for them to dwell in. Tonight we're going to look at the eschatological aspect of this, meaning that how does this relate to Bible prophecy? Well, right now we're living in the last days. And I believe that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent, meaning that it could occur at any time. You say, well, how can you be sure of that? Well, the last time Jesus audibly spoke in the New Testament, in Revelation 22, He said, "Behold, I come quickly." That's what He told John. And John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So Jesus promised to come again. He promised it here. He promised it in the last couple of verses of the New Testament. So I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, He is coming. It could be tonight. He could come tonight. So He's going to come again. And I believe, now, people are really all over the place in this, in the way they view about the coming of Christ. I'm what you would identify as pre-mill. I believe that Jesus is coming again before the millennium, before the setting up of His earthly kingdom. I also believe that His coming will be prior to the tribulation period. I think the Bible, in fact, Jesus said that there's going to be great tribulation in Matthew 24. He wasn't talking about just trials of life. He was talking about a time period where the Antichrist would be revealed and wickedness would run rampant on this earth, and the judgment of God will be poured out systematically during that 7-year period. I think Jesus is going to come prior to the tribulation period. So again, that would make me pre-pre. I'm pre-mill, pre-trib. What Brother Cockrell used to say, he said, "I'm so pre-mill, I won't even eat post-toasties." He wasn't post-millennial, he wasn't post-tribulation. So I believe Christ is going to come again, and it'll be before the tribulation. And I think there's a hope in that. I don't believe I'm going to go through the tribulation period. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, He's going to come again in the air to take believers to the Father's house. How do I know that? Well, go over to 1 Thessalonians and I'll show you how I know it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died in the Lord, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." By the way, by the word of the Lord. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 14 when He said, "I'm going to come again." He talked about it in Revelation 22. So it's by the word of Christ, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. The idea is that there are going to be a people who are living, who are going to be translated and glorified without ever tasting death, without ever dying. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those who are saved, whose bodies are sleeping in the sense that they're buried, their spirits are with the Lord. But their bodies are going to be changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, they're going to be resurrected. The dead in Christ will be resurrected first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." All right, there He's coming in the air. We're going to be caught up. The dead in Christ raised first. They'll receive their glorified bodies. And it'll be instantaneous. I mean, in 1 Corinthians it talks about in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. You can't even measure that time-wise. Not a blink of an eye. in the twinkling of an eye. You can't even measure how quickly God is going to give us our glorified body. Dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air. And I've always wondered, what's that going to feel like? When he says, come up hither, and all of a sudden, we just go up. I wonder if we're going to feel some kind of a sensation that is unlike anything that's ever happened before. I think we will. I don't know, speculation. But I'm looking forward to that. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So here you have the bodies of believers of all ages will be raised from the dead, and those who are saved and alive on the earth, those living saints will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, will receive our glorified bodies, and then we'll go to the Father's house. I think while we're in the Father's house is when sometime the tribulation period will be going on the earth. The 7-year tribulation. We'll be in the Father's house. And during that time, sometime during that, when we're there, I believe that the judgment seat of Christ is going to take place. Now this whole layout really is pictured in a couple of different places. If you've ever read Revelation 4, we're not going to read the whole thing, but it's a picture of the rapture. When John is caught up in the Spirit in Revelation chapter 4, and I believe that's when we'll receive our glorified bodies. Now, interestingly enough, in Revelation 5, okay, you have the saints in glory, meaning that they're glorified. They're done. Their bodies of sin and death have been done away with. Now they have glorified bodies. They're conformed to the image of Jesus. And look what it says about them. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The picture here is that the saints of God are around the throne, rejoicing, worshiping, relishing the presence of the Lord, singing a new song, saying, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then notice verse 10. These glorified saints who know now everything about the Bible, really, because they're conformed to the image of Jesus. Listen to what they say, the knowledge that they have. They said, And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. These glorified saints in the Father's house, in heaven, around the throne, glorified, rejoicing, singing praises to His name, are saying, we're not staying here in the Father's house for much longer, because we're going to reign with the Lord on the earth. We shall reign with Him on the earth. That's what the glorified saints in heaven are saying in this song. So, we're going to leave the Father's house in heaven to come back to the earth. I'm going to give you a lot more on that next week, because I'm not going to preach a long time tonight. But turn over. Here's another picture of this. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I think it gives you a pretty good order of what's going to happen. And I really don't think I'm reading things into this or just manufacturing it. Isaiah 26 and verse 19. Here you have, verse 19 is the resurrection of saved people from the grave. Thy dead men shall live. Notice, they belong to the Lord. They're going to live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. That's Isaiah speaking here. Isaiah the prophet will be included in this. His dead body is going to arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. This is the resurrection of the just. They're coming out of the graves. They're going to receive their glorified bodies. Their spirit and body is going to reunite. And then he says this in verse 20. Come, my people. Come to the Father's house. Enter thou into thy chambers, into your mansions, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. We're going to heaven to be hidden in the Father's house in heaven while the tribulation, the indignation, the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth. Okay? Then he says in verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh. So you have the resurrection in verse 19. You have the rapture in verse 20. In the Father's house, while the indignation is going on the earth, verse 21, for behold, now here's the revelation. Here's when he comes back with the saints to the earth. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Revelation 19. He's coming back with the glorified saints in heaven. He's going to judge and make war against all of his enemies, and he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. Which is what chapter 27, look what it says. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. I think this is a reference to Satan. He's going to cast him into the bottomless pit, or in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. At the beginning of the millennial reign, Christ is going to take the Antichrist, take and Satan off of the earth, put Satan in the bottomless pit. It's in Revelation 20, where it says we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. So I think it's kind of laid out right there. You've got the resurrection, the rapture, the tribulation, the second advent coming again to judge and to punish Satan. But next week, we're going to go over this. I'm going to show you what's going to happen when we leave the Father's house to come back to the earth. All right.